Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota is one of nine states with no government-funded preschool. Private preschool education can be pricey. The Sioux Falls Hope Coalition thinks we can begin to address the problem now with resources that currently exist. Randall Beck is president of the board for the Sioux Falls Hope Coalition. He joins us on the phone now. Randall Beck, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Lori. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with what the problem is. How do you explain this for people, many of whom never went to preschool themselves?
Yeah, great question. I mean, a number of factors, I'd sort of lay them out this way. First is the, in Sioux Falls at least, a dramatically increasing income gap that in Sioux Falls is creating a bubble of kids whose families, hardworking working class families, that simply cannot afford preschool. The second factor is the growing prevalence of preschool for families that can't afford it, understanding that that early childhood training, socialization, basic skills, introduction to academics before they arrive at kindergarten really can give kids a leg up. And so what the superintendent of schools, Brian Maher, has been identifying for a period of years is that idea that a kid does need to come to school ready to learn, and he's seeing that gap widen, the number of kids who frankly can't match the school the skills that preschool kids have, and that gap widens as kids go on in both reading scores, in graduation rates, and for the long term, really life decisions. So it's really a trajectory that never stops having consequences.
Is this something that you find, and I want to talk about your work with the Hope Coalition here in just a moment, but I want to fully, you know, kind of uncover this idea that some people just maybe don't understand the importance of preschool in the first place. Is that something that you have to continue to explain to people, that they don't start tying their shoes in kindergarten anymore? There's a lot more happening in kindergarten than, I mean, I think they tie their shoes as well, but there's a lot more happening. I have a nephew who's in kindergarten and he's learning coding. So is that a communication and an education piece that you're continually sort of letting people know what kindergarten is like in 2017?
Yeah, that's a terrific question. I mean, certainly our expectations in education have gone up, necessarily so, as the world becomes more complicated. The skills that those children need to have over the course of their education are so dramatically different than what you or I experienced in school. So the job that schools have is so much more complex and just tougher. And so we need to have kids at a certain level when they enter kindergarten ready to sort of step into that. Not that we're necessarily teaching them all coding and programming skills, but in our complex, a technology-focused world, preparing those kids to be competitive, to get good jobs, that's a tougher job than it's ever been. And I think our teachers on the front lines in our schools would certainly acknowledge that.
And I should acknowledge that the coding that they were doing was really the skill-based, sort of the logic, and not that they were making an app yet at the age of five, but building those skills so that they could do that. So do conversations for you personally about this topic and the fact that maybe something might be done about it through the private sector, when does that begin for you?
Really, so for me personally, began a number of years ago as an outgrowth of my passion for mentoring. You know, I've been a longtime mentor of kids, and I believe that's really a way to profoundly impact a kid's life, is to sort of step alongside him or her and just be available for them. And so out of the years of that experience, myself, along with a couple of other guys who are close friends of mine, we sort of developed this idea that there's a missed opportunity here, that we need to, as a community, sort of pinpoint the problem, and then help our schools be successful. I mean, nobody in Sioux Falls would argue we have a terrific education system here. We have a great school district, but we need to give them the very best kids that we have. And so as a community, our challenge becomes, how can we get those kids, and we can help them not only come to school ready to learn, but frankly, give all of them an equal shot at preparing them. And so over the course of that discussion, we ended up calling in 25 to 30 community leaders representing a broad cross-section of Sioux Falls, and spent close to a year, Lori, really talking about children in poverty, what the stats tell us, and that is the growing segment of families who may not know that, as you said, that they need to have their kids in school, or if they do, how to get them there. And so out of that year-long conversation among really committed community leaders emerged the idea that maybe there is something that we can do with existing, not new resources, to really deliver for this segment of kids, several hundred kids, probably 3 to 350 each year. It varies who won't get that chance. What can we do to provide it to them?
Why look toward existing resources? Why not look at policy issues and take the fight to peer, for example?
Well, you know...
Randall Beck, go ahead. Handle that one.
like you have, I've watched peer over my almost 17 years in South Dakota, and I guess I think two things. I hold out little hope that soon our legislature will be able to embrace the idea of providing state funding support for preschool. I don't see that happening soon, especially with sort of what's happening in politics these days. The second part of that is this, that while I certainly support our folks who are advocating for that in peer, and I really am grateful for them, I think the battle is here in Sioux Falls. And so how can this community, which is already program rich, we have well over 1,000 nonprofits, how can we really use the existing resources? I'm talking about churches, preschools, all of the stuff that we currently have operating to deliver that service. I'm a firm believer in collaboration and the idea that we don't need to create a new bricks and mortar service, but rather use the smart people, committed volunteers we have, the teachers, to step into that opportunity. And we're seeing that in the model that we're sort of inventing as we go along.
What were some of those early responses from community leaders? Did you see an enthusiasm right away?
Yeah, I think like any city, there are leaders and those who are not. And we're fortunate in Sioux Falls to have a culture of leadership. And I, you know, call out people like Dana Dykehouse and Bill Baker, people who understand their business people, successful business people, but they also have an understanding of the demographics, and they don't shirk their responsibility to step into the opportunity here. And for them, it's not just the right thing to do. For them, it's also a workforce a development initiative. Mm-hmm. They see this clearly as, over the long term, helping bring good employees into their workplaces. So it's both pragmatic and the right thing to do.
Workforce development begins in preschool. Wow.
Well, I mean, it really does. I mean, I've heard Dana, who's a longtime advocate of preschool, speak about this issue, and that is that if he can get that four-year-old, five-year-old to the level where they can compete with all other kids, then he can see that kid in 18 to 25 years become a great employee for him. And so he sees it's a long game that he's playing, but he's willing to play it. And we're grateful that we have people like Dana and Bill, our United Way, our Community Foundation, all of them see that investing now will produce returns in the long run.
All right. So tell us exactly how this works. How are you finding the kids and how are you connecting them with the correct resources?
Yep. First, let me tell you what the resources are, and then I'll tell you how we're doing the other. We've actually gone to, we believe, one of the most underutilized resources in this community, and that's our churches. Church preschools represent the largest single segment of early education provided currently in the city. And so we literally identified three churches, Sioux Falls First, which is a former Assembly of God, Peace Lutheran, and Abiding Savior, three churches that have really a top-notch preschools. And we simply approached the top leadership of the churches to say, would you partner with us? We are providing funding that meets their costs, but honestly, those churches are also all in terms of seeing the opportunity for them. It's ministry. It's not just education. It's meeting the needs of the community. And so the pastors, the teachers of those three churches just embraced the idea that they weren't just in the preschool business to make money, certainly. It was also a service opportunity for them, and so they have stepped into it. And interestingly, we now have other churches who are approaching us as they learn about what we're up to, who also want to be a part of this program as we think ahead to next fall. Your first question is an excellent one, and I would say we're identifying kids through two primary routes. One is our partnership with the school district. Dr. Maher has been an enthusiastic supporter of this, and his folks are helping us as kids enter, become available to the school district when openings are not available for federally subsidized programs like Head Start. Then they are placed on a waiting list, and as that occurs, we can contact those families and make slots available to them. The second really is public awareness, and you, the media, all of the social service agencies in the community are vital to this. I think Dr. Maher would say is that in the case of early childhood, we don't know what we don't know. There are lots of kids out there and families, maybe refugee families that are fresh here to Sioux Falls, who may not understand the value or that it's even available for preschool. And so we are working with many social providers, whether it's the banquet, the helpline, you name it, to really contact those families who don't know that this service, this new service, is available. So there's really two fronts on the war, Lori, as we identify those 300 or so kids who need early childhood training.
I'm talking to Randall Beck right now. If you're just tuning in, we're about talking about the Sioux Falls Hope Coalition, which is a goal to get more kids into preschool in Sioux Falls. And I'm wondering, Mr. Beck, as we finish up here with about a minute left, do you think this model translates in some ways to other communities, to an Aberdeen or a Watertown or a rural community? Do you think it can be applied somewhere else with some of the same principles?
You know, I'm always an optimist, and I think that in South Dakota, we have in places that you named and others, committed community leaders who recognize that rather than wait on peer to fix this, that this city, this community, whether it's Aberdeen or Sioux Falls, has an opportunity to rally around those kids who just need a hand, not to get a leg up, but to get a fair shot at education. And I just believe that in this state, we have many communities that would willingly step into that gap.
Randall Beck is president of the board for the Sioux Falls Hope Coalition. Mr. Beck, thank you so much for joining us once again. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Lori.